Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I still think that has a chance to be really interesting depending on what they decide to do in the first round and what that means for the rest of the offseason, or ultimately when we're up in St. Joe for training camp. And he was asked about Wanya Morris, and I'll play just the snippet of Brett Veach being asked about the competition at left tackle and if Wanya basically is ready to start or not.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think we were really happy with Wanya's development last year, and I think he showed some signs early on in the OTAs that we were really excited about. Continue that growth and maturation process during the training camp. And then middle of the season there, he got an opportunity, some good, some bad. I think Wanya would tell you this. I think if you look at his body of work last year, I think on one end, you're happy that he was able to come in at the pro level and be competitive. It wasn't perfect. But it also was solid play that I think is a good foundation to build and grow on. But he has to come in here with the mindset that, you know, we're going to look to bring in competition. And, you know, he's got to come in here and win that position. And I think it's his job to come in and be prepared to win that position. And I think it's our job to go out there and find competition, for that left tackle spot. So, I think that there's a lot of promise in there and there's a lot of ability. But certainly I think, you know, it's our job to bring in some competition there and make him earn that and work for that.
All right, so they're going to go out and get competition, but is that in the draft? Or is that going to be what we've discussed, which
Donovan
is the same
Smithy level free agent?
The same path that we're sitting here in May, and they decide to bring in a veteran left tackle, and then there's that competition. I think it's fair to say, and I understand you got to sift through stuff to make sure it's not smokescreen. I actually feel this is pretty real, though, on the left tackle spot, that if they thought Wanya Morris was actually starting at left tackle, like they were just good with it, then I don't think we even be hearing him say we're bringing in competition or anything like that. I'm not telling you they're drafting a left tackle in the first round, guarantee, or anything like that, but I think it's pretty clear, like, they haven't seen enough, and who can blame them, for Wanya Morris just to go into camp and be the guy.
No, and I don't think that's crazy. They took him in the third round. He didn't start over an aging veteran. He had the job for four games, and they went back to said, I would say, average playing veteran. Donovan Smith wasn't like an unstoppable force before the injury. Then Wanya came in and they still went back to Donovan Smith. The question really is, what level of competition? Because you're right. If they take a first round, I don't think it's Wanya's job to win. It's definitely that guy's job, just total across the board. If it's in the second round, I think it's probably more the second round guy's job to lose. Third round or later, it's a straight up competition and you guys are doing battle, and may the best man win the left tackle job. But I also just think if it's third round or later, they're not taking a left tackle.
Right.
And they're going to just wait for free agency, find some random veteran. I still think like David Bakhtiari, because it's just like, it's competition. And if he's healthy, you know, Bakhtiari's winning. And if he's not healthy, you're like, well, at least Bakhtiari's around just in case. Right. Like, I don't know if it'll be him, but I'm just guessing that if they don't take a left tackle in the first three rounds, based on the way they're talking, they're not going to take one, and they're just going to get a veteran left tackle and kick this can down the road another year.
I mean, hearing Veach, at least, again, trying to understand that sometimes there's smokescreen, but mentioning the offensive line class overall in the draft. Now, there's some good tackles that we've mentioned, how many offensive linemen go in the first round, but after that, maybe it's not as deep as we thought. So I'm with you. If they're going to find their long-term answer at left tackle, to me, it has to be in the first round. And you leave your options open because after the draft, you can sit here and say, oh, we actually feel good about the competition that we have, and we brought in a veteran or whatever to go with Wanya Morris. Or if they're at 32 or they trade up to 25, even though I think it's less likely they would trade up for a tackle.
The guy
that they viewed as a first round grade. I mean, what did Veach say? 16 to 18 guys have first round grades in their mind. Some of those are quarterbacks. So let's say there's 13, or 14 that are actually first round graded players that they're eligible to draft. Cause we know they're not drafting.
He said 14 to 16, but yeah, as you said, four of those guys might be Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams. Yeah. Presumably they have a first round grade on Caleb Williams.
I would think so.
I did think it was interesting. The fact that he did say there's only good enough tackles that if you're at 35 or 40, they're not good anymore. So if where they're at, that makes me wonder though, like if say a guy slips just a little bit and they think, hey, we really like Amarius Mims out of Georgia and they're at 25 mm-hmm. and we really think he can be the guy. Would they actually trade up to 25 to draft a tackle if they think that once you get to 35 and 40, there's no use in taking one until the fourth round? Like if they really right. think that that's more of a premium position of need, I guess, then wide receiver, we'll find out.
But I also think it's harder to trade up for tackle than it is wide receiver in this draft in particular. Because unless you're going to 15 or 16, and you heard Brett Veach talk about that, he's like, look, I'd never rule it out. That's fun. And I'd have to talk to ownership. Ha ha. Because the amount of assets they have is not really the amount you would think a team's going up to 15 for, right? They're not like loaded with draft assets to the point that you're like, well, they're flying up the board. So it becomes very difficult to think the Chiefs can move up for a left tackle they view in that range. And if he's saying at 35 or 40, they're essentially not worth that, he's not ruling out taking a left tackle in the later second round or later third round. He's just telling you that, like, maybe Suamataia isn't worth pick 32, so they'd rather be taking a different position. You know, like, they'd rather be somewhere else in the draft.
I mean, he emphasized what everybody's kind of known, which is that, you know, the most pressing needs, offensive lineman, wide receiver, and, you know, a defensive line. Like, those seem to be the most likely, as everybody would agree, picks for this team. And he mentioned that maybe it's a better defensive line class than we realized.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. Like, hey,
I told you, I'm always fine with defensive linemen.
You know, second, third rounds. And in the NIL effect is what he brought up. I thought that was kind of intriguing, just to hear how maybe that could alter the back end of the draft a little bit. He said, you know, you've got guys that would have normally come out of college earlier that were projected to be fourth rounders that are underclassmen that are staying in college because there's NIL money. We've mentioned that more on the basketball front, I think, than the football front, but it's happening in football. And so if you've got, the Chiefs have seven picks right now, but you've got multiple of those picks that are, you got a fifth, I think you got a fifth rounder, you got a seventh rounder as well.
Multiple seventh rounders, yeah. I think, but yeah.
Multiple or one?
Maybe
I think the one,
one
from the Titans, right?
Yeah.
At the beginning of the seventh. Anyway, point being just that.
Basically a sixth.
Are they more likely, like most teams, to try to go in that, third round or earlier range? Like how many, it sounds like they agree there's a big drop off, which normally.
He's not the first person agreeing to that, by the way.
Right, and like. I think everybody would say every year that, well, duh, the guy in the second round is going to be different than the guy in the fourth. But it sounds like there's a real drop off from third round to fourth and fifth more than normal.
Yeah.
And so does that change your thought process on do you stockpile more picks in the second round? Like, I actually, listening to the whole thing, I wonder if trading back out of the first round is a real possibility to get more picks in that second or third round.
I mean, I don't rule it out. But the problem is we're talking about this, right? There's probably other people who are thinking the same thing where they're like, man, the rest of this thing stinks. Like, we don't want anybody in the fifth through seventh rounds. And what's tough for the Chiefs is they've made a lot of hay in those drafts, man. Those rounds, Trey Smith in the sixth, Pacheco in the seventh, Sneed in the fourth, like, they've made some real noise fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh round a number of times. Jalen Watson, I can go on and on and on. They've had plenty of success under Brett Veach in those rounds. So for him to be like, well, it ain't all that good down there, I don't think he's wrong. I think what he's describing is exactly what's happening. All of the guys you'd be taking in the seventh round are like 26. They're like Brandon, like 26-year-old, 7-year seniors. And you're like, I mean, I'll pick him up because we got to pick somebody, but I'm not excited about it. And those guys who are projected to be fifth round juniors are like, whatever. I got NIL money. I don't need the cash right now. I'll go back to college, collect my $75,000 and hope to move up to the third.
The other thing he was asked about, the same question we've been throwing around the last couple of weeks, which is, does the Rashee Rice situation change how you approach the draft? I think you and I said that, you know, if you were going to take a wide receiver in the first round, then obviously you still feel like that's real. I don't think you're desperate. And this is what Brett Veach had to say when he was asked if Rashee Rice's legal situation impacts how they're going to draft.
Yeah, I don't know if it does, just because I think we have a lot of needs. And I think it's one of those things that, you know, you go into every draft. I mean, you can look at our roster, and I think short of quarterback, you know, maybe linebacker. But I think there's needs on the offensive line for sure. I mean, you know, guard center depth, competition at left tackle, receiver, there's a need. Cornerback, we just lost need. We do have some good young guys. We do have Nazi Johnson coming back. But corners are hard to find. You know, we could probably throw safety in there too, because I think we really like Shamari Connor and Cook and Reed. So, I mean, look, I think that it's one of those scenarios where I think there's a lot of positions that would make sense for us. And again, you start at the O-line, D-line and receiver position, but, it's a long season and, you know, depth is super important to us. And also, you know, guys, contracts do run out, and, you know, I think anytime you get a player that you think can come in here and challenge for a starting position right away, I think you go in that direction.
So that was Brett Veach when he was asked about Rashee Rice's situation potentially impacting the draft. Like, if they draft a wide receiver at 32 or they trade up in, like, Binks
Lock. It doesn't
mean
it's because of Rice. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm with you there. It's like, oh, that must mean they're really concerned. No, I think they just like the wide receiver. And I think wide receiver has always been in play in the first round. I don't think, you know, if you were to break down, and next week we can take a look at some of the betting markets for it, but like, if you were to break down percentage chance, you think it's wide receiver, percentage chance, you think it's offensive lineman or defensive lineman, I think the majority of that pie would be wide receiver still for me. You know, I don't know anybody that probably wouldn't have that being the case, like the majority. I think offensive tackle is pretty close behind the likelihood of it being the first round pick, but I would still say the favorite is wide receiver.
I think probably more telling in that is the positions he's saying we don't have today. Mm-hmm. We don't have needs at safety. We don't have needs at quarterback. We don't, you know, like, he's telling you the positions in which it ain't never going to be those. We're fine there, and it's not going to be those. It's not going to be safety. It's not going to be, you know, like, if
it's safety, corner, running back, quarterback, linebacker were the five I think that I heard.
By the way,
yeah.
100% agreed on corner. I don't know how many times we've watched them, and look, maybe just line, and he's loved some corner. I'll say all this with a little bit of grain of salt. He definitely could be lying. Mm-hmm. But I agree with him on corner and linebacker. Spending a first or a second or a third, like spending a first or a second specifically on those positions would be irresponsible. You're too loaded at those positions and it have already invested too many assets. Like, I get it. They just gave up L'Jarius Sneed. They have the number one corner in football, maybe, or at least a top three corner in football still, and Watson and Williams, and, you know, like, and he's talking about loving Shamari Connor. Like, they have a really good secondary, even without L'Jarius Sneed. And the last time they let go of a really good corner, it did not impact their play at all.
It didn't, but you're right. I mean, we've seen this play out with plenty of GMs, though, where they're like, oh, we feel great about this position. And
with pick 32,
Chiefs select corner blank out of blank state. Like, and you're like, okay, well, and then you're like, I thought you guys felt, oh, you know, we just couldn't, you know, we didn't think he was going to be there. We were thrilled that he was there for us at 32. We had to go get him. You know, that very likely could be a scenario that still plays out on Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah. No, very well. I mean, but the problem is, I agree. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I agree with his assessment of the positions that I do not think that there's a firm need. Doesn't mean you can't take a safety in the third or fourth. Doesn't mean you can't take a linebacker in the fourth, you know, like, but we're talking premium picks. That's not the positions I would be targeting if I were the Chiefs. And also, I always think best player available is like a little, like, I'm not saying you can't take the best player available if there's a notable drop off, but if the best player available at 32 is a running back, I don't care.
Right.
It doesn't matter. They would have to be like Adrian Peterson at 32 for me to be like, okay, fine.
Yeah, best player available of your four needs, maybe, you know, like that. If you're good with recognizing that wide receiver, offensive lineman, defensive lineman, and whatever other position you would throw in there, and the best available of that pit, you know, of that bunch, okay, that's a different scenario. And as he brought up, I mean, and we know with the, you mentioned McDuffie, that if there's a guy that they thought was going to be a top 15 pick and he's there at 23, that's how you get into the, we might have to trade out.
We don't have a choice here.
Right. And that's what makes this all fun.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.